the golden candlestick, the fifth vision. And the angel that talked with me came again and waked me, as a man that is wakened out of sleep, and said unto me, What seest thou? And I said, I have looked, and behold a candlestick all of gold with a bowl upon the top of it, and his seven lamps thereon, and seven pipes to the seven lamps, which are upon the top thereof, and the two olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the bowl, and the other upon the left side thereof. Zechariah 4, verses 1 through 3. As stated previously, the fourth and fifth visions form a new section in this series of symbolic prophecy, but they stand in close connection with what has already been unfolded in the three preceding visions. The fourth and fifth visions conveyed the good and comfortable assurance to the prophet and thus to the congregation that the Lord had not cast off his ancient people, which he had chosen in Abraham. A remnant had returned to the homeland, and although they were still under the oppressive yoke of the Gentile world power, they were there because of the good pleasure of the Persian dynasty, which had just come into power over Babylon. They were not yet delivered from the domination of the nations, but the Lord was in their midst as the angel of the covenant, identified with them and even pleading their cause. Zechariah 1, verses 8 through 12. This is especially significant when we view it as relating to the latter times. For though there was a small measure of fulfillment in Zechariah's day, yet that did not exhaust this prophecy. Remember, this was prophecy, which always has reference to future events. We are very near to the fulfillment of these predictions right now. God is showing himself most marvelously in behalf of his covenant people. Abraham's seed is not forgotten by the Lord. We are at this moment almost at the end of Gentile times, which the first three visions of Zechariah symbolize. Jehovah therein proclaimed that whosoever touched them touched the apple of his eye, Zechariah 2:8, and that those world powers who lift up their horn to scatter Judah, Israel, and Jerusalem would be broken and cast out. Zechariah 1, verses 1 through 21. Furthermore, he proclaimed that the beloved city should be built again, and on a far grander scale, according to the blueprint of the divine architect, who himself should be a wall of fire around that city, and protect and defend it forever. He should also be the glory in the midst of it. But as we noted in the fourth vision, the thought might have suggested itself to Zechariah, how are such things possible? Israel has been cast out of her land and has rendered herself unfit to be the people of God. How can they be again the blessed of Jehovah and his channel of blessing to the world? Then follows, as if in answer to this question, the vision of chapter 3, wherein the prophet is shown that the fulfillment of the promises to Israel depends not upon their merits, but upon the sovereign grace of God. He has chosen Jerusalem as his city, and Israel as his people, and his gifts and callings are not subject to any change. The fourth vision, then, is a slight change from the three preceding visions, yet it is a further unfolding of what has gone before. Here we are shown how the Holy One can dwell in the midst of an unholy and defiled people whom he has chosen. The prophet is shown a mighty transformation. The high priest, Joshua, standing before the angel of the Lord as the representative of Israel, is realistically cleansed from his defilement. His filthy garments are taken off of him, and he is clothed in clean raiment. So shall the Lord remove the moral defilement of the children of Israel, and cause her iniquity to pass away in that day, when a nation shall be born anew. Isaiah 66, verse 8. They shall be spiritually arrayed in the rich apparel, the priestly garments of salvation. The high priestly mitre to which was fastened the plate of gold shall be upon their heads. Israel shall thus be fitted to go forth as missionaries of the Lord and scatter the truth among the nations. Then shall follow in beautiful divine order the result which is symbolized by the fifth vision, Israel, the light of the world. Symbolism of Vision 5. There has elapsed a brief interval since the former scene, as is plainly evident. The prophet is awakened by the interpreting angel. He had fallen, no doubt, into an ecstatic state resembling slumber, as we noted was often the experience of the prophets, Daniel 10:9 and Revelation 1:17. He was lost to his surroundings in contemplation of what he had seen and heard in the previous vision, when he is roused by the question, "What seest thou?" He looks and beholds a candlestick all of gold with a bowl or vessel for the oil at the top. This oil was a supply for the candlestick with its seven pipes or distributors to the seven lamps, which furnished the light. There were two olive trees, the one on the right side of the bowl and the other one the left. These trees were full of olives, which empty the golden oil out of themselves into the bowl, which supplies the candlestick. Zechariah 4, verse 12. The prophet seems especially interested in this beautiful sight. He asks, "What are these, my lord?" Zechariah 4, verse 4. The interpreter does not give the meaning, neither is it explained by the angel of Jehovah. It is left for the prophet and for all to interpret, for the message is easy to understand. The candlestick, the central object in the vision, is representative of the seven-branched candlestick in the temple. The seven-branched candlestick stood in the holy place, the figure of the heavenly tabernacle, and was the emblem of what the whole redeemed family shall finally become as joined to the risen, glorified Messiah and Lord. They shall shine not only in the very presence of God, but to the ends of the earth. The candlestick is not the church, as some would interpret, but a marvelous figure of what Israel shall be as restored to the Lord. It represents their high and holy calling as identified with their Messiah as the light to all other nations. This was always God's purpose for Israel, for when he divided to the nations their inheritance, he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. Deuteronomy 32:8. Israel failed to measure up to God's standard for them because they were under the covenant of law, which is now set aside. When they return to Jehovah and inherit their land and enjoy the fulfillment of these promises, it will be as under the covenant of promise, and they will sing even as we do now, "Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling." God has covenanted with Abraham and ratified the promise to Isaac and Jacob to give their progeny the land of Canaan. We read, "This is Jerusalem. I have set her in the midst of the nations, and countries are round about her." Ezekiel 5:5. The scepter of rule shall come back to the ancient people of Jehovah after the long years of their dispersion are ended. Their spiritual blindness will be lifted. The scales shall fall from their eyes even as they fell from the Apostle Paul's, and they shall hear a voice saying, "I have set thee to be a light to the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation to the ends of the earth." Acts 13, verse 47. And they shall hear further, "Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But Jehovah shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. All nations shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising." Isaiah 60, verses 1 and 2. Israel, the restored and blessed of the Lord, shall be as the candlestick of Jehovah in the earth. They shall shine in glorious, undimmed splendor as the light of the world for the 1,000 years reign of Christ. In the Mosaic tabernacle, the continuance of the light depended upon the offerings of the people. They were commanded to bring pure olive oil beaten for the light to burn continually. Exodus 27, verse 20. It was also dependent upon Aaron and his sons, whose ministry consisted of filling and cleaning the lamps, ordering and lighting them every morning and evening. Exodus 30, verses 7 and 8. But in the vision under consideration, no attendant priests are seen, nor offerings of oil from the people. The lamps are filled continuously from the bowl above the candlestick, and the ample supply of oil, symbolic of the abundant outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon Israel, is set forth by the carriers, the seven pipes which poured the oil into each lamp. The two olive trees are a very important part of the vision. Sons of Oil is the literal translation of the Hebrew, Zechariah 4, verse 14. At the time of the vision, these two olive trees were representative of the two leaders or heads, Joshua the high priest and Zerubbabel the governor. These are the two anointed ones that stand before the Lord of the whole earth. Zechariah 4:14 teaches us the same thing. In the previous vision with which this is connected, Joshua is seen standing before the angel of Jehovah, and in the present chapter, Zerubbabel is mentioned by name. It is thus fitting that these two, who were the links with God and Israel at that time, be mentioned together, although they were closely associated by the prophets Haggai and Zechariah. Their ministries were different. The one, Zerubbabel, was the national leader, while the other, Joshua, was the religious head. This conclusion does not exhaust the symbolism of these sons of oil, because all Zechariah's visions of the night have reference to the week of Daniel 9:27, the 7 years of unprecedented events which are still in the future for Israel. These men, therefore, must be viewed as standing for the kingly and priestly offices to which they belong. These two orders were consecrated to their ministry by the anointing oil and were designed to foreshadow the two offices which shall ultimately be united in Christ. He shall be the great high priest as well as the king upon his throne, Zechariah 6:13. Joshua, as well as the whole of the Aaronic priesthood and the kingly line represented by David, Solomon, and all the other kings who wielded the scepter and sat upon the throne of Judah, were types and shadows pointing on to him, the captain and great file leader of the faith. It shall be in his light, by the supply of the golden oil of the Spirit, that Israel's candlestick shall ever be kept burning with a sevenfold splendor that shall shine to the ends of the earth. But there is also another application of the symbol of the sons of oil. We see two olive trees in Revelation 11, verses 4 through 12, where they are representative of the faithful leaders of that future day who shall return to Palestine and Jehovah's favor. These two witnesses, as they are called, give their testimony during the great tribulation in Jerusalem and represent the future theocracy of Israel. Malachi, the last of the prophets of the Old Testament, tells us of one called Elijah, who shall come to the nation before the great and terrible day of the Lord. We read, "He shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to the fathers." Malachi 4, verses 5 and 6.